I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Time to go blitzing. We're Grant and Danny, and it is noon on 106.7 The Fan. We will cover the Caps, who won last night, the Wizards, who lost last night, and the Redskins, all jam-packed into one segment for you. We're cruising toward the end of our work week. And again, tonight, a big event, 106.7 The Fan live at the Tally Ho Theater. Let's start you off on the gridiron. Chris Russell's our Redskins insider. Bucky Brooks says the Redskins taking Josh Allen at 13, having him sit behind Colt McCoy. What would you think of that?
I mean, if he's there, I don't think that would be a horrible value spot for the Redskins. I mean, obviously, we've all talked about it this week, and I think even on earlier when I was on with you guys this week, he's got stuff you cannot teach, right? He's got a rocket for an arm. He's got mobility. He's got size. He's got everything you're looking for from a stuff you can't teach department. It's the other stuff that you have to teach and get him comfortable in and hope that you're right on. At 13, I don't think that's the worst place you can go. If the choice is between Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield, I would probably, as crazy as this sounds, probably go with the riskier Mayfield because I think he's a more polished and ready to contribute quarterback.
Russell, last week, I believe, I was banging the drum going, why haven't we heard anything about guys like Mason Foster, Zach Brown? Well, we have. Mason Foster is signed. They've reached out to Zach Brown. Good for the Redskins. Yes, I am praising the Redskins front office. You and I have our issues with them, but when they do something well, we make sure we point that out. What's the next person you want to hear that they've reached out to or are working with?
To me, I know it's still a pipe dream, but I'd love if somehow, some way, they could find a way to keep Bashaud Breeland. I know that's not going to happen. So moving forward beyond that, I really think it's important that they try and do everything they can to retain Spencer Long, just from the standpoint of you're losing Laval. You already had a huge question mark on the interior of your offensive line. To lose two starters would be, in my opinion, a pretty damaging blow, no matter how good Bill Callahan is. That's still tough to overcome when you consider that Trent Williams is probably going to miss the entire offseason and is an injury risk to begin with, and then, you know, other situations. So to me, that's where I would go. As far as the other inside linebackers, guys, I wonder about this. I mean, now that Mason Foster is back in the fold, I know they're going to say the right thing. I know they're going to try and bring Zach Brown back. But just the money and just the need and the fact that Zach Brown cannot call plays and is not viewed as super intelligent and that he wants a lot of money, I kind of think this is the end for Zach Brown here in Washington.
Wow. If you go young and you get an elite-level college prospect at the position, that cushions the blow and I won't be as upset. But he's an impact guy, the likes of which they haven't had in a while, and they're a lot better for him this past season. Hey, Russell, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, fellas. See you tonight.
You going to be at the Tally Ho tonight?
Yes, sir.
Looking forward to it. We will see you there. Let's talk some puck. J.J. Reagan, NBC Sports Washington. That was what we were looking for last night, J.J. Sitting there watching the game with you. 46 shots on net for the good guys.
Yeah, they definitely quartered on, and they needed to against an inexperienced goalie in Harry Sateri. There would be no excuse for the lack of shots that we've seen in the last few days. But the interesting thing about their lack of shots is that it's actually by design. I don't think this is something many people are talking about. It's frustrating that they're last in the NHL in shots per game, but this is by design. When they say that to the media, they're not trying to spin it. This is actually their plan. They're looking for, they're being more selective with their shots. It's something that goalie coach Scott Murray brought to the team. It's something that the team has clearly committed to. So, you know, I know it's frustrating for the fans, but that has been their plan. It goes against most people's conventional wisdom, so it's going to be interesting to see how things ultimately play out this season, to see if, hey, maybe they're just ahead of the curve here.
Yeah, I have a plan to jump out of the plane without a parachute. It's just my plan, so we'll see how well that works. Australian comedian Jim Jeffries-Reagan. I like what I saw in All Fought last night, especially the bouncing back. How underappreciated, though, just historically, is Alex Ovechkin? Just another 30-goal season. The next closest guy's got 13 this year. We'll talk about Brett Conley in a second, but just what an amazing career.
He truly has had an amazing career. He's truly one of the elite players in NHL history. And he's underappreciated because people have built this narrative over this player that they perceive him to be that is way, way false. I mean, he's considered by many to be a selfish player. He also recorded his 500th career assist last night. I don't know how many selfish players get 500 career assists. You know, the Stanley Cup obviously colors perception of him. The fact that he hasn't won it, it's unfortunate, but he can still be a great player. The argument I always make about this is he right now is the greatest goal scorer of his generation without a Stanley Cup. If he wins a Stanley Cup, he will be considered the greatest goal scorer of his generation. I'm not naive to think that it doesn't matter if he wins a Stanley Cup or not, but I think people need to take a step back and realize that they are seeing one of the elite players in NHL history, one of the best to ever play the game. And hopefully he does win a cup, but even if he doesn't, he's still one of the best to ever lace up the skates.
JJ, thank you, pal. Much appreciated.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Let's talk some hoops. Nick Ashew joins us now to do just that. Wizards lose again last night. Nicholas Handsome, what happened? They just got off to another slow start.
They were sluggish again, guys. I got to be honest with you. I'm getting to the point where watching these games, I'm like half asleep. They're so tough to watch at times. It's so frustrating. I mean, I picked this team to win 52 games and go to the conference finals. And I've gotten to the point now where I'm just starting to think, did we just overestimate the talent that the Wizards have? Like that's my only explanation at this point for this team, because they just don't put any effort out on defense. And I get it. Like, the Thunder are a really explosive team. Russell Westbrook is Russell Westbrook. I mean, he's so fast and athletic that John Wall can't stay in front of him. But, I mean, Westbrook dominated him, and he does that to a lot of people, but they couldn't even stop the ball. I mean, they just gave him easy shots, easy paths to the basket, and they knew that was coming, and they didn't have any answer for it whatsoever. And, I mean, you watch this team, you give up 121 points. They played much better in the second half in terms of at least making the game close, but they are frustrating, and if we're running out of answers, I'm assuming Scott Brooks seems to be running out of answers for these guys too.
I think it's a construction issue, Nick. You know my feeling about it. Oubre's been the leap he's made is great. I'm enjoying the Oubre era. Mike Scott's going back to being Mike Scott. A non-impact last night, 0-for-4 shooting. The center position's a disaster. There's no answer. Jody Meeks isn't coming to save you. He's shooting a career worst from three. I don't think they have any answers. I think it's a roster construction issue where you can't afford less than stellar performance from your first five. And now that Otto Porter's playing hurt, I think Wall's playing hurt, Markieff Morris is playing disinterested, even though he was good last night. To me, I don't think there are any answers in the locker room.
Yeah, two things there. I mean, one, you bring up Jody Meeks, which is important because they brought him in to be a shooter off the bench, and has not been a shooter off the bench, which is a major problem. They don't spread the floor well. They don't shoot the ball from three that well very often. And yeah, Markieff Morris played better last night. He also wasn't just camping out on the perimeter, which has been the thing that Scott Brooks has been getting frustrated with, is that's all that he's done this year, which it's an advantage that he has the ability to be able to do it, but you just don't want to do it all the time. And we saw a little bit of that change last night. But you're right, like the guys that they brought in, they're just not contributing with the skill sets that they're supposed to be bringing to this team.
Nick, thank you, pal. Good catching up as always. Go fix the Wizards, would you?
All right, now I'll do my best, guys.
So Nicholas Handsome. You can hear him nights on 106.7 The Fan with Chris Russell, and of course throughout the day, keeping you up to date as well. That is your Beltway Blitz. A couple of things we didn't get to cover in the first half of the show that we wanted to, that we could still hit on, including the question you asked Chris Russell. Which Redskin do you want them to call next? Who should they start negotiating with? We'll also get back into the XFL 2.0 this hour. Will you watch, and might it survive? You're listening to The Fan. The results from our Royal Rumble pool are in. Cookie Duck Dynasty, of course, of the Chad Dukes versus the World Radio program, got number 30, which is the last guy in. I got number 29, which is my only real great shot at winning. The only guy here that's got very slim chance is our buddy Thommy. Thommy somehow got picks 8 and 9 and 6.
Just right in the bad zone.
He couldn't have had a worse run of it. He was like the fourth or third guy. I think he was the third guy to pull numbers. And apparently that was the wrong spot to be in.
Don't people usually win in the teens and 20s? That's usually who your winners come from? Your winners,
yeah, but
winners
pool? It's usually the late 20s. It's okay. Usually like 25 to 30. And my best number is 21.
I think 21 could win for you. Also, is it crazy to think that 19 or someone like you got 19 also? I mean, I think you have two that have a chance. Now, granted, most of your picks, like 8 and 9, those are going to be guys I've never heard of that come down with their first and their last name in a Speedo.
It's going to be the Godfather from 20 years ago coming
out. Jobbers.
Right. So many guys just getting destroyed. This is going to be fun, Danny. I now have a reason to watch the Royal Rumble.
Enjoy yourself.
I will. You should have gotten in. Do you feel like you missed out?
I'm good.
You're all right?
Yep. Feel very, very comfortable in my
seat. Have you scheduled your ride to the event yet?
No, that is still TBD. I'm working on Brendan Dar and the 5-minute drive, but we'll see. We'll see if he's willing to do it come game time.
Did you ask Dar to drive you?
Dar volunteered.
Oh, really? That's very nice.
Yeah, very nice of him.
Dar, that's so sweet of you. What made you volunteer to drive him?
I didn't really volunteer. Danny asked me if I would do it, and I haven't said no yet.
Wait a minute. Time out.
Wait a minute.
That is two people saying the exact opposite thing.
Then I will say I'll find my own way, Dar, if it's putting you out. I thought there was a, you know,
Did you ask or not?
I didn't think I did. I thought we were talking about it, and Dar's like, I'm going to be around. So, and I was like, oh, do you mind doing that? So I guess technically I did ask.
Okay, that sounds like he asked.
That's the way I would phrase it then.
Yeah,
right?
And I technically didn't say no. So I think we're both telling the truth here.
Everybody's okay. Dar's going to drive Danny. But you did ask Dar for a ride, it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm fine giving Danny a ride.
To strictly phrase it that way, that is correct. That's how it would go.
But Dar is your guy. He's your Uber for the night.
Are you going
to have a bottle of water ready for him?
I don't need that. No. I don't need that.
Peppermint?
I would like that. My breath is usually hot in the afternoons. If you have any peppermints.
Go to 7-Eleven on your way out to Leesburg.
Can you get him a peppermint, Dar? What do you say?
Could you have a peppermint for me? It'd be nice.
We had Mason Foster on the show yesterday.
It'd be nice.
He re-signed with the Redskins for 2 years. By the way, really cool. He decided, as he's leaving the park, yeah, I'll call in. No problem.
I'll call you guys.
He just hopped on the show 15 minutes after he posted that he put pen to paper on a new deal. Who is the next Redskin you want them to contact? They have signed Quentin Dunbar. They have signed Mason Foster. Real good chance that's two of their defensive starters this coming season, by the way. Because if you look at it, Quentin Dunbar is probably going to start on the outside, and they're going to kick Kendall Fuller inside in three receiver sets. Mm. I'm not sure what they're going to do against two receivers. Maybe Kendall Fuller gets a chance to be their number two cornerback.
I wonder, man.
I would like to see that. I think Fabian Moreau is going to probably push QD. But Dunbar signs because he's going to be playing a lot to a three-year deal for about $10 million. Foster is one of your two starting inside linebackers. Whether or not you bring back Brown, whether or not you bring back Compton, if you don't bring back Brown, Compton probably has to compete for that job with either a veteran you bring in or a kid you draft in the first couple rounds, I would guess. But at least they're starting to do what you wanted them to do, and we know that they're talking with Zach Brown.
I love it.
They can't get deals done with these guys for the most part because they're not going to want to sign because they want to test the market. Why wait until now and then sign a deal a couple months before other teams could potentially up the bidding war for you?
All about this. So again, you need to find out if you can get a Mason Foster situation. You don't know how much a guy loves it here until you ask him. Now, if Mason Foster's going, you know what, I'm determined, I'm going to go somewhere and be an unquestioned starter, maybe make a bit more money somewhere else, a bit more guaranteed, you might lose him. There's no harm in opening up dialogue. You might find out what you did from Zach Brown, which is, thank you guys, I love it here, but I'm determined to get to free agency. God bless you. I have no issue with that. My only point is, I cannot have what happened with Pierre Garçon happen again. You have no idea, you probably couldn't have, but you have no idea if you could have gotten a hometown discount or, hey, no, I love it here, I love Kirk, I love Jay, from Pierre. You let him walk without even texting the guy. I can't have that. So, I said, why aren't we hearing that the Redskins are contacting people? Now we are. Good for you, Redskins. Nice job. Here's who I hope they are calling. And I don't think it'll work because it sounds like this guy wants a raise and this guy thinks he's more of a marquee free agent maybe than he is. Maybe he finds out he's not. He comes back to you. The guy that I'd like him to call next is Spencer Long. I want to hear if Spencer Long is willing to do a deal. My guess is that he's not, just based on what we've heard, what's kind of been out there and how maybe valuable he thinks he is on the open market. But I would like to know if I can get Spencer Long back either as my center or as my left guard.
I got two guys that aren't Spencer Long, both defensive players as well. Junior Gallette is the next guy I'd like to get a deal done with. I like what I saw from Junior Gallette. And I think Junior Gallette has a lot more in him that he can give you than he did this season. And it's as much your fault as it is his because of play time and the discrepancy of snaps and the fact that he just wasn't on the field on passing downs as often as I would have liked for him to have been. But he's only 29 years old. There's still three or four seasons left if he can stay healthy where he can be what he was this year, I'd assume. And I think there's a couple years in the next couple seasons where he's going to be better than he was this year. So I'd be on the phone with Junior Gallette and I'd say, listen, dude, remember that Redskins tattoo you got? It's going to look kind of stupid on another locker room. Why don't you stay with us? We took a chance on you when no one else wanted to. We've had the conversations in our offices crying while you're crying about trying to get back into the league. We've lived and died with you through the two injuries. We've kept you around. We kept re-upping with you a year at a time. Now, you do right by us. You sign this deal, and we're going to play a little bit more. I know you want to play a lot. I know we've got Kerrigan and Smith. I know we might have Trent Murphy back. But earn your stripes. Get yourself back on the field with your own play. Sign a contract and stay here. I would try to get a deal done with him.
Here's the thing about that quickly. I think if he has the exact same season he had this year, right, plays the exact same level, he can end up with six sacks. We look at the totals and we go, it wasn't that impressive.
True.
He was so close to getting home. He was beating his guy, I would say, fairly routinely. If he does the exact same thing, he could have wildly different numbers.
He also had a couple sacks taken away by penalty.
That's true,
remember.
Too. That's right.
So you just add those to the total. Plus, you're right, he had five or six near misses. And I'm sure you could say that about a lot of guys in the league that had three or four sacks. You go back through and you give everyone their almost sacks, the numbers all change considerably. But I understand your point. The other guy that I would call right now, today, this second, this moment, is the same position, Trent Murphy. I think you can re-up with Trent Murphy pretty cheaply.
Because of the injury?
Absolutely. And one productive year as a pass rusher. He's been in the league for a few seasons. He's been good coming off the edge, getting to the quarterback one time. And that year is now asterisked by performance-enhancing suspension.
Yeah.
So you've got a PED suspension, dings value. A torn ACL, dings value. The fact that you didn't do anything last year because of the injury, you're going back two seasons ago, dings value. The fact that your only great year was the last year that you played before a contract, dings value. This is a guy that I think you can get, probably not at the veteran minimum, but I think not much more than that. And I'm actually surprised, to be completely honest with you, they haven't already gotten a one-year deal in place with Trent Murphy. I tried to get him done for two and pay him right around $1 million a season, probably a little bit more than the minimum, but I would re-sign him, give him something where, you know, over 2 years, the incentives he could hit are four and a half, because you know he's probably not going to play every down anyway to get to those, because you've got a bunch of guys at that position. But those are the two names for me that I would call next.
Makes a lot of sense.
The two outside linebackers, and it's always the position I'm always trying to address because I think pass rush is so important. Gallette and Murphy. You're going with?
Spencer Long.
800-636-1067 is the number. I want to get your take on which of those two guys, Murphy or Gallette, you'd rather sign and bring back.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you my thoughts on Long and why I'm not obsessed with having to bring him back as well. Grant and Danny on the Fan, and we'll get to your calls next. The Redskins have re-signed Dunbar. Yesterday, they re-signed Foster. We know they're working on a deal with Zach Brown, trying to beat free agency, which doesn't look like it's going to happen. Who do you hope they call next on the Fan?
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
The Redskins are starting to make moves in free agency with their own pending free agents. Yesterday, Mason Foster got a 2-year deal. Quentin Dunbar signed a 3-year deal earlier this offseason, and they are in talks with Zach Brown among some of the other players scheduled to hit the market. Denny brought this up. I think it's a good question. Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines open for you. 800-636-1067. Who do you want to hear over the weekend that they are in talks with? And who is it that you'd want them to sign next? I went Junior Gallette and Trent Murphy in that order. Pass rushing is so important to me. And I don't think you can have enough guys coming off the edge. I thought if everyone was healthy this year, including Murphy, they probably would have been well above average in terms of edge rushing. I also think Gallette started to get his sea legs back under him, and by the end of the year looked like someone who could help them a lot. You may have to pay him a little bit. I don't think you'd have to pay Murphy, coming off of a year-long injury and a four-game suspension, all that much. So bring those two guys back. Danny, of those two, who would you rather retain if you could only pick one? Gallet, who seems to be more skilled as a rusher, or Murphy, who seems to be a little bit more complete because he plays the run really well?
It's Gallet for me. I think the upside there as a pass rusher is still higher, even though we're talking about off the injury and years of inactivity and so on. I think Trent Murphy had his career year. I think I've seen it. I think that's as good as it can get. I'd still like to have it, keep in mind, as another asset. So if Preston Smith goes down or if Ryan Anderson doesn't blossom, then you could do a lot worse than Trent Murphy. But, you know, these edge ceiling in the run game on first down or whatever, I care about third and six. That's my entire mantra of defensive football. I care about third downs. They have to happen. When everyone knows you're passing, what can you do to affect it with as few people as possible? Can you do it rushing four? Can you do it from the interior? Can you do it with one-on-one winners on the outside? That, to me, is more Junior Gallet ultimately next year than it is Trent Murphy.
800-636-1067. You went with Spencer Long. Here's kind of my take on that. This is a hole in my game, perhaps, if it's a flaw. I do not value all that substantially interior offensive line play. And that's not to say that I would just be plugging and playing a bunch of dudes that don't matter. I would spend some money at the position, or I would draft in the mid rounds at that position. I want Spencer Long back. If he's willing to come back at 3 years at $5 million a pop or something like that, I will do that.
Right.
Everything I've gathered is that he and his agent think he's going to get pretty substantial money and be someone's anchor, basically. I'm not going to get into bed with another Sean Laval contract or something, you know, that is debilitating or prohibitive of getting out of after a couple seasons. On Long, I think that Chase Roullier can play center fine. And at left guard, I think I could find a guy like Spencer Long, probably at lesser money than he's going to get as a free agent going into his prime contract. That doesn't mean I'm going to enter with Ari Quanjo as my left guard.
Right.
But I've got Brandon Scherff, I've got Trent Williams, I've got Morgan Moses. I've paid two of those guys, and I'm going to have to pay Scherff a boatload as well. I'm not going to spend a bunch of money on another guy. I'm going to go cheap with Roullier, a draft pick, and I'll probably go cheap with another third or fourth round guard that I plug in. It's just, I hate to be Jay Gruden here, but it's just guard, man.
If I find out it's too expensive, you and me are in lockstep. But I need to know that it is. I need to get confirmation that it is. What we've heard is that it's going to be. And if that's the case, because I'm not paying a Sean Lovallo either. I have no interest in that. No, thank you. I will not get in a bidding war there. But if I find out, yeah, you know what, I actually really like it here, I'm willing to do something, as long as you get me to kind of close to this point, whatever that number happens to be, where it's affordable, then I don't have to make my third round pick another Spencer Long.
I bet you they would have gotten a deal done if that was how
you think
it was
so?
Going. Maybe not. I mean, maybe they are slow playing it with him, but I get the sense, look, Spencer Long has played pretty well when he's been healthy. And, again, you only get a couple bites at the apple at that interior line position,
right,
where you can make some cash. Dude's 27. He's been in the league. It's actually weird. I looked this up, and I was like, that's a year or two more than I would have thought. He's going into his fifth season.
Fifth year.
So it's time for him to get paid, and he's at a position that has jumped in value pretty substantially over the last couple of years in free agency. Carl's in D.C. Carl, next Redskins pending free agent you hope that they get on the phone with.
Hey, Gary and Dave, how you doing on 9 days before the Super Bowl day?
Hey, Carol, how are you on the day before the day before the day that's a Sunday day?
Kevin, how are you doing on this Monday? I mean, Thursday day.
Day.
Hey, guys, quickly before I give you my player, can I give you what makes me cheap?
Go.
I missed that segment the other day.
I love that segment, so run it back.
Do it. Go for it.
All right. So at the bar I go to, they allow me to purchase half of beers on draft. So I'll get two and then I'll get a half a beer. But what I do is, you know how pint glasses aren't perfectly cylindrical?
Yes.
They're actually wider at the top.
Okay.
I will drink it down to where it looks like it's a half, but since it widens at the top, it's really like only a quarter left in there. So I get three quarters of a beer for the price of a half.
That's actually really smart and
wow.
The cheapest thing I've ever heard.
Good Lord, man.
Here's my question, though. Do they do that for you because you're their boy, or do they do that for everyone?
Yeah, because you're Carl, or is that for everybody?
Because I'm Carl.
There you go.
It's good to be Carl sometimes.
Not bad to be
you
Carl.
You ever seen the Chris Rock bit where he goes, how much for a rib?
Absolutely.
They're like a whole rack of ribs. He's like, how much for one rib?
Oh, yeah.
That's Carl with his beer. How much for a half a beer?
When he says, put it in my hand, it's the
yeah.
best.
He's like, how much for some soda? And he wants, like, just a bottle cap of soda.
Love
it's so good.
Carl, good to see you. What do you got?
All right, so continuing my theme of being cheap, I want to sign Will Compton. I think that I just want him on the team. I want him in the locker room. I want him there during OTAs. I want him there during mini camps. Even if a rookie ends up starting over him, I want him on the cheap. I want him in the locker room. D'Angelo Hall's probably gone. We're going to be missing some veteran presence in the locker room. We need him on the team. We need him running the Wolfpack, keeping players like Sua Cravens, out of the Wolfpack.
Invested, yeah.
get him back on the team.
Yeah, he's referencing a video that Danny and I love from Will Compton, where basically he was the guy that went to Sua Cravens in training camp and said, "Dude, you're not right. You're not caring enough.
Would you mind
one
trying
of us or
hard,
not?"
please?
And he's like, "You can't be in my wolf pack if you don't care a little bit more," basically. You need leaders. You need guys like Will Compton to say things like that to dudes like Sua Cravens. I want him back, too. I just don't think it's going to cost that much. I mean, is Will Compton going to get starter money from somebody? Probably not.
I mean, it only takes one team to fall in love, as we kind of know, that they decide.
But think about what you're falling in love with.
No.
A little bit undersized guy who's good on special teams, who started for a very limited time after a bunch of injuries last year and got hurt really quickly. And I know that's kind of the worst case scenario summation of his season, but in a nutshell, that's what it was. Matt Stafford, what's up?
Matty.
Hey, how much foam was on the top of that beer, Carl?
It's a great question for Carl.
Good question for Carl, yeah.
I'm making Kirk Cousins the highest paid player in the history of the NFL because he can win any game. Any week, they can beat anyone. And people say that they won't be able to build a team around them. They're not really that far away. You get a couple nice free agent signings, maybe a veteran wide receiver, get a couple more people on the defense. And also, it's going to take that to get them to sign. And it's time to say, here you go, we really messed up. And then in Kirk's eyes, he'll say to himself, wow, it is meant to be, and they'll make it happen.
Appreciate you, buddy.
There you go.
I didn't know that anyone was going to go Cousins, but I like that Matty and Stafford did that.
You got to make him say no.
Yes.
Talking about Cousins.
We've both said, right after the season ended, we would have gone straight to Cousins and made a ridiculous offer we knew he was going to say no to. So at least they could do what they're going to do, which is turn around and say, see, we did what we were supposed to. He didn't want to sign it. They care so much about trying to win in the court of public opinion.
Yeah, and have it actually be something, like everybody that doesn't know any better thinks that Bruce Allen fiery press conference at his desk was like, see, they tried, and Cousins said, no, screw him. But everybody that understood the marketplace knew that that was a comically low offer. If they went with a market value one or close to it where you're guaranteeing $90 million and it's an average of 25.6 a year or something like that, then maybe a little bit lower than Matt Stafford, but it's a lot of money. If it's close to the market value and he still says no, now all of a sudden you get that high road.
Some of the pending free agents we have not mentioned. Terrell Pryor, I'm not contacting.
I'm going to lose his number.
He can go wherever. Sean Laval, I'm not contacting.
Nope.
Thank you for your time. D'Angelo Hall, I'm talking to him about coming back maybe in some type of assistant or front office capacity. Mm-hmm. I would love to have him operating in my front office, longest tenured Redskin, one of the longest tenured players in D.C. sports. Niles Paul, I would call and try to get a cheap deal done with.
Absolutely.
Why not? You can't have enough competitive tight ends in camp. Chris Carter, I need to get more info on his injury. Remember, he had the serious injury at the very end of the season.
That's right.
He's a good special teams player. Why not? And then one other guy I would throw out there that's interesting. We haven't talked about Bashaud Breeland. Bashaud Breeland, to me, is just their best free agent, not named Kirk Cousins, but he's also going to command the most money. You cannot pay him after you paid Norman what you did. So I'm assuming they're not even going to really talk with Bashaud Breeland. What about Ryan Grant?
Ryan Grant is somebody that won't cost you a ton that I'd be willing to bring back at a slight pay raise. My biggest name that we haven't mentioned, though, Dustin Hopkins. Get that resolved. Give me Dustin Hopkins. I like some continuity at that spot instead of watching somebody go thrive somewhere else.
800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067 on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines. You'll want to hop in. Next on Grant and Danny. There are 400 new prop bets out regarding the Super Bowl. We'll tell you about some of them on the Fan.
May I help you, sir?
How much for an order of ribs?
$2.50.
$2.50? How many ribs do I get with that?
About five.
Five? So I guess that's about 50 cents a rib, huh?
Yeah, about.
Okay, let me get one.
One order.
One order of ribs.
No. One rib.
One rib. Make that one rib to go.
One rib?
One rib. What else?
You got any soda?
$1.
Oh, come on now. Look out for a brother, man. Come on. Hey, check this out. Why don't you let me get a sip for 15 cents?
My cups cost more than 15 cents.
All right, cup. Pour it in my hand for a dime.
That's one of my favorite bits ever.
From I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
How much for one rib? That's about 50 cents, right? Oh, it's so good. Grant and Danny, welcoming you back. 106.7 The Fan. So if you're headed out to Vegas for the Super Bowl, you're going to have a lot more fun than we are next weekend. A
lot of props.
400 props were just released for Super Bowl 52, and here some of them are. There's always a lot of stuff on the national anthem. How long will it take for Pink to sing the anthem? They're setting it lower than they normally do. Do we know if she's got a track record of singing very quickly? Is that something? I remember in the past it's been around 2:11, 2:14. This year it's 2 minutes flat.
So I guess it's obviously based on their 40 like times, so to speak.
Yeah, they hadn't studied her.
Their combine time.
It's usually around 2:20.
Yeah, so why is it so low this time?
Is she faster?
She must fly through it. What color will Pink's hair be? Predominant color, they're going white or blonde, pink or red, blue or purple, brown or black or green. Then they have a bunch of questions. Is she going to be airborne at any point during the anthem? Will she omit a word? Is she going to be wearing anything Eagles, anything Patriots during the national anthem? Then we got some stuff on who's going to be mentioned and seen first in the broadcast. Robert Kraft, Jeffrey Lurie, Tom Brady or Nick Foles, Bill Belichick or Doug Peterson. I'd have to imagine you'd take the Patriot as the easy money almost all of the time as the heavy favorite.
That's what I'd feel like. The Tom Brady's going to get shown first, fidgeting during the anthem or pregame stuff. Robert Kraft with his, you know, one color shirt with a white collar and huge tie with pit stains. You're going to see him early.
Here's a good one. What color will Belichick's shirt be at kickoff? Predominant color, blue, gray, red, or white. Now, they're wearing white jerseys. I think he probably goes gray hoodie. That's a 3-2 odd you're getting there.
Mm.
If you really want to go get yourself some money here, you could bet on white or red 15-2, but he rarely wears that.
I feel like he only wears blue or gray.
That's why there's not a lot of money to be had there. It's probably going to be navy blue, which is 4-5. I mean, you're basically just not making any cash when you put money down on that.
Right.
A couple other things. They bring Donald Trump into it in Vegas. Over under Donald Trump tweets on Super Bowl Sunday.
On the day of?
5. I would take the heavy under on that.
You think under 5 tweets?
Now, it's not tweets about football, right? It's just total tweets?
I think it's just tweets during the day.
Does he normally send 5 tweets a day?
I feel like he's a 5-a-day guy.
Really?
Yeah. Am I wrong about that?
I'd have to look. I think that's an easy money bet there for under. Let me look up how many tweets he had.
But
yesterday.
Maybe extra audience, you would think, that maybe he's more excited.
But people aren't, like, sitting glued. I guess they are glued to Twitter on Super Bowl Sunday.
Stupid, sad football. Nobody's watching. Terrible
so
game, sad.
Today, he's already tweeted over 5 times.
That's apparently. Just today.
Yes. Starting at 4:50 this morning.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's got 7 tweets, it looks like, since, like, 4 a.m. when he woke up today.
I think that's an over situation.
Wow. Okay, I would have lost money there. I would have said under. All right, let's go to Will. Trump be mentioned during the broadcast, yes or no? I think that's an easy no.
I would say no to that.
Why would they mention him? Unless he's there and you're showing him on screen, which he's not supposed to be? Why would he
I don't know that he ends up getting referenced necessarily.
Doesn't make any sense.
It wouldn't be a casual Al Michaels being like, speaking of Trump, no one was.
So here's something I've been wondering, though. A lot of this, so many of these props I go through have to do with the broadcast and what gets said.
I wonder about this all the time.
If I'm Al Michaels, other than just being a good person, what is to keep me from looking at all these props, making a list of things I have to get in during the broadcast, calling someone up and saying, hey, let's put a bunch of money down on these, and then at some point I just mention Donald Trump in the broadcast randomly. Or I just, Tom Brady, once got some flack for wearing his Make America Great Again hat for Donald Trump. I mean, you would do a bad job, but you could make yourself a lot of money doing
a bad
job. Well,
sure. I mean, there are things that would be outrageous if you would cry foul, but things that are good odds that he'll do. Al Michaels references the spread all the time.
Yeah.
He's not quite Brent Musburger levels, but he will casually do that.
Think about this. Is Donovan McNabb's vomiting incident from Super Bowl 39 when these same two teams played 13 years ago going to be mentioned? Al Michaels could just decide, knowing that's a prop bet, Yeah, I'll mention that.
That's my point.
Part of the context anyway.
Now, if he's the one himself, if you go to like the MGM and it says, Michaels, comma, Al, a whole bunch of money on these things, that's shady and they would object to that. They may not pay. But what's to stop him through a proxy? What's to stop him of getting some mule to go in there and place a bunch of bets?
Great question.
That I don't know.
How many times will the temperature outside the stadium be mentioned during the broadcast? Over-under is one?
77,000 times.
You think so?
Constantly.
See, I think one is probably about right.
Warm in here, cold out there, or whatever. Like, constantly doing that.
Wardrobe malfunction be mentioned during the broadcast? Yes or no? How many times will Janet Jackson be mentioned? Of course, you have Timberlake performing at halftime, right?
That's why, yeah.
So that would be why they would reference the last time he did it. How many times will the Rocky statue in Philadelphia be shown? They put the over-under at one. I'm going to take the over on that.
Minimum of one.
Al Michaels referred to the spread. As you mentioned, that happens all the time. Will anyone accept Brady or Foles take a snap in the game? I would say no to that. What color will Timberlake's shoes be? I don't care about that. A lot of Timberlake questions here. Will any members of NSYNC perform with Justin Timberlake?
My guess is
I say no.
It's not going to happen. Because there was a little bit of intelligence that said guys have been asked and they said no, but maybe Lance Bass shows up for some reason.
That would be hilarious. Will Justin Timberlake cover a Prince song at halftime? To me, that's the biggest no-brainer ever.
I feel like that's definitely happening.
In
right?
Minnesota, why would it not? Super Bowl MVP mentioned in his speech first. Teammates, God, city, coach, owner, family, or none of the above?
Well, let me play this out.
It's Brady. So
when
he
Brady wins the MVP,
he's not a God guy.
He's a teammates guy.
Teammates?
He's a teammates guy.
I say city. I think he talks about New England.
Ooh, that's not terrible.
He would be teammates over probably coach or maybe is Alex Guerrero an option?
That's right.
He did mention,
Alex,
by the way, Alex Guerrero after the last game was one of the first people he thanked for getting his
really?
Finger. Dead serious. He's like, our staff, you know,
didn't
the coaches,
that.
My teammates, and Alex, he mentioned Alex Guerrero by first name.
Oh, man.
But all the props are out again. There are 400 of them. So much fun to be had. So go check them out.
Then there are football ones, just for game purposes. Over-under for the first half for the Eagles, 10.5. Over-under team points for New England, 27.
10.5 seems so low, by the way.
Just for a half?
Yeah.
Here's the way I see it going, the way New England always does it. New England has a lead. Maybe they've got 17 points in the first half, and then New England comes back and wins the game. I smell it going that way.
What's your, as of right now, top of your head, kind of final score?
27-24.
You think it's going to be that close?
I do.
I'm thinking.
I think the Eagles cover this thing.
33-23, 30-20, something like that. I don't know.
I think the Eagles will have early success, and everyone's going to be like, what? This is crazy. And then the Patriots will do the Patriots thing where they adjust. Next thing you know, Philadelphia can't move the ball. And then Tom Brady just methodically moves it down the field, throwing to a guy that has three catches all year.
Pour it in my hand for 10 cents. Grant and Danny. 1 o'clock, the big one. Craig Hoffman is going to join us to talk about the Senior Bowl on Saturday and who you'll want to watch, who the Redskins have been talking to and interviewing this week. Next episode.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.